Welcome to The Connection, where humans and aliens converse, and where all the dots are connected. I'm Nancy of Zeta Talk, an emissary for aliens from Zeta Reticuli. They are here to warn of great cataclysms on Earth and advise how to survive this. The pending pole shift is not the end. Man will make his next leap forward to live a better time when aliens will live among us. ...2005 seemed to be a plateau year, as those awaiting the pole shift or the dramatic 3 days of darkness were disappointed. But was it? Let's examine how the year progressed in light of the Zeta Talk predictions and what we can anticipate in the year ahead, 2006. For one thing, pre-shift quakes, as described in the scripted drama. The Zetas described what would occur during the hour of the shift, step by step, in the scripted drama write-up, describing 9 steps. The ripping apart of the Atlantic Rift was step 1. Allowing India to slip under the Himalayas was step 2. And then the African Rift to widen, step 3. They stated that the quakes preceding the pole shift, those we're experiencing now, follow this scenario too. And I quote from Zeta Talk, scripted drama, written April 2002. 1. Europe and Africa move further east, allowing the Atlantic to rip apart. 2. The immediate effect of the massive plate housing Europe and Russia and the Near East to move is felt most strongly in India, as the Himalayas are driven over India at this point. 3. The effect of the Indo-Australia plate taking a dive under the Himalayas is to relieve tension along the African Rift, such that this tears promptly, but in shuddering steps with halting adjustments, pauses between shudders. In essence, the movement eastward of the African continent is a momentum creating this tear. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. They stated that the quakes preceding the pole shift, those we are experiencing now, follow this scenario too. And I quote from Zeta Talk, pre-shift quakes, written April 2003. What should the world expect during these next few weeks, quake-wise? Examine the scripted drama scenario we gave many months ago. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. 2005 showed this pre-shift pattern occurring. This starting with a dual 8.1 south of Tasmania and 8.2 in Auckland on December 23, 2004, followed by the infamous 9.5 in Sumatra on December 26, 2004. This equates to step 2 in the scripted drama, the ripping apart of the Atlantic being a silent occurrence, typical in the stretch zone. Did step 3, the widening of the African Rift, occur in 2005? It certainly did in Ethiopia. And I quote, Ethiopia witnesses rare earth split, dated December 29, 2005. A continental rifting process that normally takes millions of years to form has developed over a span of 7 weeks in the Afar region of Ethiopia. It was a close study of an earth rupture developing into a rare axial rift zone. Scientists from Ethiopia and Britain made 4 expeditions to the Afar Depression between mid-September and early October to collect geophysical and geological data. It started with a series of quakes that were first recorded September 14th. The volcanic activity spewed ash for 3 continuous days, and eventually numerous cracks appeared on the ground. End of the quote. And for instance, the stretch zone. The stretch zone is a Zeta Talk term because they described with great specificity what happens to those parts of the world where the crust is stretched rather than compressed. And I quote from Zeta Talk, pre-shift quakes, written April 2003. Stretching results in quakes as the plates underneath, in layers like flaky pie crust, release. Stretching results in land not supporting prior buildings or roads or bridges, which suddenly collapse. End of the quote. And stated early on in the Zeta Talk saga, which started in 1995, that this was the case. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Submerged Roads, written May 1996. During every pole shift, some land, particularly coastal land near a widening ocean rift, submerges. This has been the case on the eastern seaboard of the U.S. and in the Caribbean. Traces of a submerged civilization can be seen under the waves off Bermuda. Roads, signposts, and walls. End of the quote. And of course, this involves more than the Caribbean and the southeast United States. Look across the Atlantic and see Ireland and Scotland, Norway, also with evidence of land under the waves on the western edge. So what evidence do we have that step one in the scripted drama occurred in 2005? I quote from Zeta Talk, Stretch Zone, written December 2005. Is there a correlation between a bursting dam in the Ozarks on December 14th, sudden geysers in Oklahoma on December 11th, and an oil refinery explosion near London on December 11th? All are in the stretch zone. End of the quote. All this within days of each other, as though some part of the same release of tension in the Atlantic, a sudden stretch on both sides of the Atlantic. The failure that burst a dam in the Ozarks remains a mystery. And I quote from MSNBC, dated December 14, 2005. Missouri Reservoir fails, towns on alert. The dam is in the Ozarks, about 120 miles southwest of St. Louis. Initial reports said heavy rain was a factor, but this was not the case. The region received only about 0.1 inch overnight. It wasn't clear why the breach occurred, but officials said there was no obvious equipment failure, nor was there evidence of foul play. End of the quote. Likewise, the sudden geysers in Oklahoma have no obvious answers, as no pipeline ran under the area, and the geysers continued and even increased when the only pipeline in the area was turned off. And I quote from the news, dated December 11, 2005. Kingfisher County, Oklahoma, officials try to find the source of odd eruptions. A hole that has engulfed half of a county road is spitting a mixture of mud and water while venting gas into the air above a 5-foot crater the geyser created. About 10 yards from the crater, another geyser can be seen, spitting thin mud and gas into the air. The geysers have appeared throughout the countryside of rural Kingfisher, with stretches of up to 12 miles between spots, and some as short as a quarter of a mile. The area near the geysers had been cordoned off because the nature of where the gas is coming from is still unknown. End of the quote. And the explosion in an oil refinery had no known cause likewise, but witnesses reported hearing the earth rumble just before the explosion. And a quote from the news, dated December 12, 2005. Fiery depot explosion rocks England. Explosions ripped through the fuel depot north of London on Sunday, injuring dozens of people, blowing doors off nearby homes, and sending balls of fire and clouds of black smoke into the sky. Police said the blasts appeared to be accidental. Many witnesses reported heavy rumbles before the explosion. End of the quote. And this was followed by yet more evidence of earth movement, as from Texas to Florida came reports of booms and earth trembling, shaking, and a gas refinery in mid-Texas exploded at the same time for no known reason. Then there's the stretch stench. Earlier in the year, during September to October, a stretch stench was reported both in the U.S. and the U.K., no doubt as a result of yet another silent release of tension in the Atlantic Rift. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Stretch Stench, written October 2005. We warned recently that the stretch would accelerate and be exacerbated by the torque effect which was twisting the North American continent in a diagonal, pulling New England to the east and Mexico to the west. The overall effect of these forces is to drag the southeastern U.S. down, along a line from Pennsylvania to Texas, to pull the continent diagonally and to ease stress on the west coast, as it can be shown on IRIS charts indicating reduced earthquake incidents along the west coast compared to the rest of the Ring of Fire. Exposed to the degree that venting upward into the air can occur, these smells are solid evidence that rock layers below are adjusting. End of the quote. From Thunder Bay on the northern coast of Lake Superior to Washington, D.C., to the New England states, through Pennsylvania and Ohio, and all the way to Central Texas and even L.A., the complaints emerged and hit the press. And I quote from the L.A. Times, dated September 22, 2005. Mysterious stench swirls around the city. And so it went across the Southland, as some detected strong odors from the coast to the valley. Workplaces and web blogs were buzzing with descriptions comparing the smell to old socks, rotting cabbage soup, moldy wet wallboard, and the cat's litter box. End of the quote. And how about the Earth torque? Something evident throughout 2005, but not in the news, is the relative earthquake ease on the west coast of the North American plate. From Alaska to Mexico, a peek at the IRIS charts provided by the USGS show this dramatically. All the rest of the Ring of Fire is full of quakes, but the west coast is spared. This is due to the torque effect, which became apparent on the IRIS charts just after the Sumatra quake at the end of 2004. And I quote from ZetaTalk, Snap, Crackle, and Pop, written January 23, 2005. What would cause a plate as large as the Indo-Australia plate to pop, springing from its lock of jagged rock all along its edges, miles deep, and snagged in an infinite number of places, resisting any motion at all? What force would cause these rock fingers to rupture along a 600-mile length along Sumatra? We have previously described the torque the globe endures as the magnetic North Pole is pushed harshly in one direction while the magnetic South Pole is pulled in another. The plate popped from its wedge where it snugs against New Zealand. We described the torque the globe was enduring when we did To Go On Record, as we specifically detailed the stress the Indo-Australian plate would experience due to this torque. Now, 8 to 9 months later, this description is prophetic. End of the quote from ZetaTalk. As the torque effect is pulling the North American continent into a diagonal, this is placing stress on the New Madrid fault line. To sense the effect, place a hand on New England and pull east, the other hand on Mexico and pull west. Such will be the movement anticipated on the New Madrid. And I quote from ZetaTalk, Torque Effect, written May 1, 2004, 8 to 9 months before the Sumatra quake occurred. Pull the globe with the left hand on the North Pole and the right hand on the South Pole, and turn in opposite directions, first this way, then back. The North Pole going in the direction of rotation with the South Pole held back, the torque forces the North American plate down and into the Caribbean. End of the quote. The effect of an eased compression on the west coast can be seen in the behavior of Mount St. Helens, which has oozed immensely since mid-2004, but not exploded. And I quote from the CNN website, dated December 31, 2005. Mount St. Helens releasing lava at astonishing pace. The volcano, about 100 miles south of Seattle, fell silent in 1986. Then in September 2004, the low-level quakes began, occasionally spiking above magnitude 3. Since then, the mountain has squeezed out about 102 million cubic yards of lava, more in 15 months than in the 6 years after the eruption. The dome collapses and grows and collapses and grows. It's not entirely clear where the lava is coming from. if it were being generated by the mountain, scientists would expect to see changes in the mountain's shape, its sides compressing as lava is spewed out. That suggests resupply from greater depths, which normally would generate certain gases in deep earthquakes. Neither is being detected. End of the quote from CNN. And what about the wobble being accentuated? The Zetas described an Earth wobble early in 2004, caused by Planet X pulling on the Earth's south pole and pushing the north pole away. Because the north pole of Earth hides behind the curve of the Earth for part of the day, the push away is stronger when it's visible to Planet X. When hidden, the Earth bounces back. This creates a figure eight wobble, detectable and well documented throughout 2004 and into 2005. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Whiplash, written April 14, 2004. Tilting and leaning or aligning with a bully magnet that Planet X represents will occur, with ricochet effects and twirling possible to an extent we decline to reveal at this time. End of the quote. At the start of 2005, the Zetas predicted this wobble would increase in violence, culminating in a wobble so severe the ancients called it an earth-like clay on a potter's wheel, a twirling wobble. This worsening wobble would be due to the north pole of Planet X swinging around to point toward the Earth. Since north poles of magnets avoid each other, and since Planet X is the bully planet, larger than the Earth by far, Earth could only struggle to stay aligned with the Sun, forced to accommodate the hose of magnetic particles from the north pole of Planet X by an increased wobble. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Hell Unleashed, written January 2, 2005. Earth will lay on her side, her magnetic north pole pushed to the west, a predecessor to the 3 days of darkness and sunrise west, laying her hemispheres out for an equal basking under the sun, but putting the sun and moon, and especially the constellations, in extremely errant positions. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. This increased wobble was noticed and commented upon by people watching Polaris, the southern celestial pole, or evidence of sudden Earth movement causing sloshing in lakes. Comments from late November to December 2005. Sunrise and set of moon in varying planets tells me that the positional alignment is out of whack. Hence, the Earth is a wobbling. And from another, I'm seeing a slight wobble myself. I have Polaris marked against a large tree in my backyard, and it's wobbling to and fro. Some days it's worse than others. And from another, one would have to be blind to not notice the movement that is taking place with Polaris every night, as well as the longer cycle that is also manifesting itself. Polaris is continuing to creep further and further west by northwest with each passing week. It's now nearly 3 degrees away from where it was located each night at the same reading time, just a scant 6 months ago. And from another, don't know if this ties in, but where I work, we monitor the conditions of a very large lake. For some time now, I have observed what I believe to be the lake sloshing. We observe the moon's tidal effect here, but this is different. And it appears to be growing more pronounced. Water level swings are getting progressively wider. And from another, the Earth has moved down 3 to 5 degrees and to the left 3 to 5 degrees. Using the naked hand method and hand span, the southern celestial pole appears higher off the horizon tonight and to the right of my land target. End of the quote. And the second sun is back. The rotating Planet X, swinging its north pole around to the right, has allowed Planet X to again be visible as a second sun. This is because Earth is trying to evade the north pole of Planet X as much as possible, so is leaning to the left. Thus, Planet X, as a second sun, is seen to the right of the Sun from the northern hemisphere. Where this was predicted by the Zetas in early 2005, it did not become apparent until late in the year. And I quote from Zeta Talk, The Tail Returns, April 7, 2005. The north pole of Planet X swings clockwise while Planet X remains in place and while hosing the Earth with magnetic particles pushes the north pole of Earth away, tipping the northern hemisphere of Earth temporarily away during those days. During this slow process, the tail of Planet X, with its many moon swirls and immense dust cloud, emerges at the right side of the Sun as viewed from the northern hemisphere. End of the quote. This, too, was noted by many in November and December 2005 and captured in photos. And I quote, I have evidence from a plane trip from L.A. to New York. Two suns were much in evidence on flight AM 630. The pilot said later not allowed to comment or he would lose his job. And from another, 3 weeks ago I was traveling southwest on U.S. Route 42 just after a rain. The clouds were still dark but breaking up. At about 5 o'clock p.m., I watched the sun go behind one cloud, and just slightly northwest was another object, about one-quarter to one-third the size of the sun, which was visible because the sun was blocked. I assume that was Planet X. End of the quotes. And weather irregularities. With the Earth wobble comes weather wobbles. These were predicted by the Zetas in 2002 without giving cause. And I quote from the talk, 2002 Quickening, written May 4th, 2002. Weather irregularities will continue in the manner we have described since 1995, with increasing swings and extremes, in that weather irregularities are smoothed by nature, by increased atmospheric activity or ocean currents, temperature extremes will not occur. Rather, oscillating extremes, similar to what the world has already experienced, will occur. Sudden shift to cold weather, sudden unseasonably warm weather, and the like. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The wobble causes the Earth to move suddenly under its blanket of air, creating air turbulence. Consequently, where 2004 was a record season, 2005 topped that. And I quote from the Live Science website, the record-setting 2005 hurricane season. Hurricane season in the Atlantic Basin, which includes the Caribbean and the Gulf of Mexico, runs from June 1st to November 30th. Forecasters expected a busy season in 2005. In the end, nature dished out more storms than anyone expected, and new records were set for the most storms, the most intense one ever, and the most destructive. End of the quote. And again from Live Science website. Record hurricane season goes out with a bang, dated 29th of November 2005. The season included 26 named storms, the most ever. Of those, 13 became hurricanes, again, the most ever. 7 major hurricanes formed, being Category 3 or stronger. 4 of those major hurricanes made landfall in the United States, another record. And finally, 2005 saw an unprecedented 3 storms reach Category 5 status. End of the quote from the Live Science site. The season ended with yet another hurricane being named on December 30th for the 2005 season. Appropriately, Hurricane Zeta. And snow in summer. The Zetas predicted snow in summer as part of the weather irregularities. This has been reported by the ancients in the years just preceding a pole shift, in particular China, in 1600 BC. And I quote from Zeta Talk, During 2000, written January 12, 2000. And likewise, there will increasingly be very cold summers. This is a new angle, very cold summers. This has been relayed in the past in ancient reports of what the Chinese called a world cycle, meaning the approach of another pole shift where snow fell in summer. This type of weather change, which will shock the weathermen who are trying to explain events in terms of global warming, will begin. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The equatorial country of Somalia experienced their first snowfall ever in the middle of summer, June 1, 2005. And I quote from SomaliaNet. Snowfall in Somalia reported. Puntland, northeastern part of Somalia, has never recorded snowfall before last night when snowstorms with high winds destroyed homes in Rako town. The storm left a blanket of snow on the ground, something residents had never seen in their lives before. Aside from this unexplained snowfall on this tropical land, Somalia has experienced very strange weather in the past few months. End of the quote. And high tides. The Zetas predicted high tides, unrelated to earthquakes as tsunamis are, to occur in the future. And I quote from Zeta Talk 1999 predictions, written April 15, 1999. The oceans will continue, as will the weather, the oceans of air, to become more erratic. Winds sweeping in without notice, sudden storms, deluges, tides that are greater than expected, especially along the Pacific coastlines. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. During 2005, this occurred at least twice to the degree it got in the news. First, in India. And I quote from Daily Telegraph News, 15,000 flee as freak sea tide hits southern India. Dated May 22, 2002. At least 15,000 villagers were evacuated after a freak tide caused a surge of seawater in the southern India state of Kerala. Meteorologists did not say what caused the tide. End of the quote. Second, later in the year, along the California coast. And I quote from the news, dated December 21, 2005. Huge waves crash onto California coast. The National Weather Service warned of breakers 15 to 20 feet or higher in coastal areas northwest of Los Angeles and waves exceeding 15 feet along San Diego County. The swells were generated by storms in the Pacific. End of the quote. Well, Bin Laden, dead or alive. Remember shortly after the Afghanistan invasion, Bin Laden was pronounced most likely dead in Tora Bora in the caves that had been bombed. This question arose on March 16, 2002, on the live Zeta Talk IRC session, wherein the Zetas said, and I quote, "The war on terrorism is a loss. Bin Laden is not only not dead, but his network hardly damaged, as renewed activity on the terrorists' part will soon reveal." End of the quote. This was later recanted that Bin Laden was dead in Tora Bora caves, and Bin Laden revived. And I quote from the CNN website, July 8, 2004, "Officials say Bin Laden guiding plots against the U.S. A plot to carry out a large-scale terror attack against the United States in the near future is being directed by Osama bin Laden and other top al-Qaeda members, per senior intelligence officials. Bin Laden and his top lieutenant are overseeing the attack plans from their remote hideouts somewhere along the Afghanistan-Pakistan border." End of the quote. And at the end of 2005, Bush was again referring to him as being in Pakistan, alive and well. And what about bringing the troops home? The military plan, although not the Bush plan. Despite the Bush edict to stay the course and not cut and run, the Zetas had predicted shortly after the invasion of Iraq that the military would force his hand and bring the troops home. And I quote from Zeta Talk, "Greater Need," written October 11, 2003. The U.S. military, in particular, has been used not for the defense of the common good, but to procure corporate interests, and is deeply resentful of this. In the event of Earth changes, troops would be brought home under stealth and with little fanfare to the respective homelands, leaving at most a skeleton crew at the bases. The excuse would be the greater need at home. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. By August 2004, Bush was muttering the right phrases, despite his determination to stay the course and an increasing insurgency, both of which contradicted the desire of the military to bring the troops home. And I quote from USA Today, August 14, 2004. Bush to cut forces in Europe and Asia. President Bush has decided to bring home tens of thousands of U.S. troops from posts around the world, most of them in Europe and Asia, plus 100,000 of their family members and support personnel. As part of the largest troop realignment in years, Bush will shift about 70,000 uniformed military personnel, most of them currently in Europe. A significant proportion will come home, though it was not clear when. End of the quote. At the end of 2005, with Representative Murtha's outspoken demands for a complete withdrawal from Iraq and demands in Congress for a firm withdrawal plan, this again came up on the side of the military's desire to bring the troops home. And the Saudi takeover for oil. The Zetas stated from the beginning of the Iraq invasion that Bush and company were after oil to control not only the Iraq oil fields, but to move sideways into the Saudi fields and from Pakistan into the Russian oil fields to control Iran, invade Venezuela, control Nigeria, etc. King of the world regarding oil was the plan. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Monitored, written February 8, 2003. Their best-laid plans are not working out, not being allowed to overtake their objectives promptly, so that Iraq falls, Saudi Arabia falls, and the rest of the world be damned. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. In 2004, websites discussed a long-existing Pentagon plan to invade Saudi to protect American oil interests. And I quote from Global Research, dated July 9, 2004. Who really wants to invade Saudi Arabia, and why? The Pentagon, for three decades, has formulated and updated secret plans to seize Saudi oil wells and rid the kingdom of the ruling House of Saud. This is not only a neoconservative cabal. Time and again, plans have been made for an invasion of Saudi Arabia for a larger purpose, U.S. control of the global oil supply, thereby dominating global economic markets. End of the quote. Then King Fahd died, and the kingdom became more Islamic and less likely to cooperate with the Bush administration. And I quote from Knight Rider, dated August 6, 2005. U.S.-Saudi Arabia relations will suffer with death of king. Fahd changed the nature of U.S.-Saudi relations, especially during the Reagan administration. This came after he designated his favorite nephew, Prince Bandar, as his ambassador to Washington. Fahd wanted the relationship to mirror strong U.S.-Israeli relations. He cooperated with the U.S. government on many covert ventures. End of the quote. Lots of talk about invading Iran for months, with the excuse that they were planning to develop nukes. Lots of talk about invading Syria, too, which would put a swath from Syria to Iraq to Iran to Pakistan, all across the oil fields, for an easy push down into Saudi territory or an easy push up into the Russian oil fields when the pole shift hit. Apparently, the plan had been discussed, and recently. And I quote from The Guardian, dated October 15, 2005. Bush told Blair of going beyond Iraq. George Bush told Tony Blair shortly before the invasion of Iraq that he intended to target other countries, including Saudi Arabia. End of the quote. And decapitation. After the theft of the 2004 presidential election by voter fraud, the Zetas predicted that the puppet master would take out his rage on the rebellious Bush puppets. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Diebold Wins, written November 3, 2004. The U.S. will find itself without cooperation when reaching out for help to other countries in their endeavors, while the puppet master enacts financial revenge, punishing the U.S. to weaken Bush and Cheney. And another quote from Zeta Talk, Bush Busting, written November 27, 2004. He will take the Bush camp down in subtle and not so subtle ways, reducing their influence in the world and within the United States to noise, irrelevant, discredited, despised, and ignored. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. So how did the year go for Bush and company? Not well. Lots of leaks, damaging leaks, like the Downing Street memo, the NSA revelation on spying on citizens without a court order, and dirt about the outing of a CIA undercover agent from the offices of VP Cheney. The homosexual escort Gannon is a so-called reporter staying overnight at the White House regularly. The torture in Iraq and CIA rendition flights to secret CIA torture spots in other countries. And more dirt waiting in the wings. And a quote from CBS News, December 28, 2005. Rough year for Bush in polls. It was not a very good year for President Bush, according to an analysis of CBS News polls conducted over the course of 2005. Widespread discontent with the war in Iraq was the primary factor in Mr. Bush's mostly lackluster ratings. But Americans also expressed unhappiness with the president's response to Hurricane Katrina and with his proposed overhaul of Social Security. Mr. Bush started the year, the first of his second term, with a lower job approval rating than any two-term president in the past 50 years. And his numbers continued to sink from there. End of the quote from CBS News. And the Social Security scam. Mention of pouring the Social Security funds into the stock market was made during the 2002 presidential debates, but not pressed by Bush during his first term. The Zetas did not predict success. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Social Security scam, written December 15, 2000. A prominent promise made by the GOP during the 2002 presidential debates was to allow the public to invest part of their Social Security monies in the stock market. This was proffered as an advantage to young wage earners to have the same growth opportunities for their monies as individuals investing their own private savings. Is this true? And if true, why has such an opportunity not been offered before? Social Security was designed during the Depression era to provide an absolutely fail-safe means of returning to oldsters or those unable any longer to work what they have invested into the fund. A hallmark, especially after the debacle of the 1920s stock market crash, was to make these funds protected, not to put them at risk. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. This was pushed by Bush during the first year of his second term, however, aggressively, as he traveled around the country giving speeches on the matter. But where did it go during 2005? Nowhere. And I quote from ABC News, dated April 28, 2005. Bush lags on Social Security push. President Bush has spent a good part of the last 2 months trying to accomplish three tasks on Social Security. Convince more people it's in a crisis, move it up as a priority, and persuade the public that he's the guy to deal with it. End of the quote. and martial law precursors. There were several attempts to facilitate martial law in the United States and sculpt the populace to the establishment's liking that were made during 2004 and 2005. The Zetas have long warned that vaccinations would likely be used to murder unwanted mouths should the Earth changes look like the pole shift was imminent. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Vaccine Failure, written October 2004. The new U.S. draft plans are called the Skills Draft for healthy men and women, 18 to 35. This workforce would be quickly assembled and separated from the populace at large, under the guise of registering for the draft. If the draft is unlikely to be implemented in time to separate out the desired workforce, what's the establishment to do to sculpt the populace into the desired workforce? How to eliminate the aged, the sick, and those too young to be put to work as child labor? Vaccinations are a route open to be used. End of the quote. And indeed, a proposal to select out healthy men and women for military as well as other service had already been made. And I quote from the Selective Service System proposal dated February 11, 2003. In line with today's needs, the Selective Service System's structure, programs, and activities should be re-engineered toward maintaining a national inventory of American men and, for the first time, women aged 18 to 35, with an added focus on identifying individuals with critical skills. End of the quote. With the Iraq War increasingly unpopular and the failure of the Bush administration to plant weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and the revelations on torture by the U.S. and secret CIA prisons, this proposal was unlikely to get backing by an increasingly rebellious Congress. The perfect excuse for a forced inoculation of the entire population to selectively poison unwanted mouths would be the bird flu. Unfortunately, human-to-human transmission was refusing to occur, and this was a necessary ingredient. But in April of 2005, this got an assist from a U.S. lab. And I quote from the New Scientist site, Pandemic Causing Asian Flu Accidentally Released, dated April 13, 2005. The virus that caused the 1957 Asian flu pandemic has been accidentally released by a lab in the U.S. and sent all over the world in test kits, which scientists are now scrambling to destroy. The flu testing kits helped pathology laboratories improve their accuracy. The 1957 pandemic started in China before spreading worldwide, killing an estimated 2 million or more people. The virus was sent to laboratories in Belgium, Bermuda, Brazil, Canada, Chile, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Israel, Italy, Japan, Lebanon, Mexico, Saudi Arabia, Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and the United States. And from ABC News, Feds at a loss on how flu strain got to labs, dated April 14, 2005. Federal officials are still at a loss to explain how a potentially deadly strain of influenza could be sent to more than 4,000 labs around the world. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention is operating under the presumption that the H2N2 strain was purposefully included in the panels designed to test the lab's proficiency in identifying viruses. End of the quote. It should be noted that there was no longer any immunity in the populace against that 1957 flu, nor was there any vaccine currently manufactured. And Bush, seemingly aware this supposed accident was occurring with an epidemic on the horizon, proceeded with the release of an executive order. And I quote from Liberty Post, Bush authorizes use of quarantine powers in case of bird flu. This was dated April 1st, 2005. President Bush signed an executive order on Friday authorizing the government to impose a quarantine to deal with any outbreak of a particularly lethal variation of influenza now found in Southeast Asia. The fatality rate among those reported to have contracted the disease is about 70%. End of the quote. Per the Zetas, this was to facilitate martial law, but at the end of 2005, no human-to-human transmission has occurred, despite the spread of the latest bird flu to all but the Americas. Martial law foiled again. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Pandemic Threats, written April 16, 2005. Bioterrorism has become the boogeyman because it is convenient to contain the populace, suddenly, should martial law or its equivalent be desired. What would allow Homeland Security to force the residents of cities to remain in place, to shelter in place, selectively? Infection affecting those neighborhoods likely to riot and not housing friends of Bush could be quarantined. Vaccinations, again selected to enhance illness among those not deemed fit for the work camps of the future, could likewise be forced. All that is needed as a catalyst is a pandemic, a worldwide threat, and if nature does not cooperate, then a nudge can be provided. Notable in the recent revelation that a proven dead virus without natural immunity in the world's populace was released on purpose to thousands of labs in dozens of countries worldwide via standard mail routes is the lack of uproar about this calamity, the lack of major media attention. Notable is the fact that this release came from a U.S. lab. Notable is that Bush recently signed an executive order authorizing quarantine in the case of bird flu epidemic, after the release of this 1957 virus and prior to the discovery by the public that the release had occurred. End of the quote from Zeta Talk. The Terry Schiavo case was anything but a fight to save a single life. It was a test to how readily the Bush family could impose its desires on Congress, on the courts, and sway public opinion. This test failed in the courts and in the court of public opinion, though Congress reluctantly went along. And I quote from MoveOnPAC.org, "Tell Congress to stop grandstanding on the Schiavo tragedy." Dated March 23, 2005. On Sunday, Tom DeLay and Bill Frisk, the Republican congressional leaders, convened an emergency meeting of Congress to pass a bill that interferes with the Terry Schiavo tragedy. And although in 5 years no other issue has prompted President Bush to return to Washington during the vacation, including the tsunami, Bush flew back from his ranch in Texas to sign it. End of the quote. The true test to dismantle the balance of powers failed. And I quote from Zeta Talk, Terry Schiavo, written March 24, 2005. On the face of it, this seems to be an effort to save a woman's life, but this is not what the argument is about. There is another drama being played out. If saving life were the issue, then why has intervention not occurred for the thousands of people dying in the U.S. daily for lack of health insurance? What of the children dying in their parents' arms, in hospital parking lots, because they refused treatment by hospitals? Looking just under the surface, one sees a battle between the branches of government established to provide checks and balances, the executive, the judicial, and the congressional. Martial law is difficult to invoke and even more difficult to maintain. It lies counter to law and thus can only be invoked for extraordinary reasons to be upheld under law. It lies counter to states' rights, as any issue requiring martial law is unlikely to be uniform across the nation. Since martial law stifles commerce and industry and places the public in duress, this is an issue where Congress is unlikely to simply stamp out new laws on demand from a dictator. In particular, this test showed the ability of the president to sway public opinion, even on an issue where he can be considered to be viewed as compassionate and in the right, is scant. His reputation as a liar precedes him. End of the quote from Zetatronk. Notably, at the end of 2005, the Bush intention to avoid the courts and the Congress, wiretapping anyone at will, was exposed, avoiding the FISA courts, and just going on executive order. The agenda, the intent, glaringly clear. As the famous Bush quote goes, "Don't want a dictatorship unless I can be the dictator." What might emerge in 2006 beyond the pole shift itself? In that the Zetas consider keeping the establishment off kilter, unaware of the timing of what is about to befall them, so that the cover-up they are perpetrating might better shatter, they will not be specific as to what might happen during 2006. We're too close to the heavy end days when the wobble will get extreme, twirling into 3 days of darkness, so any clue as to the timing will simply not be given. But there are predictions made in the past for the days leading into those end days, and these have not yet occurred. Thus they indeed apply to 2006, potentially. Imploding cities, for one. And I quote from Zetatalk, 2002 Quickening, written May 4th, 2002. Buildings with heavy plumbing running up into the toilets and showers have a sinkhole developing under them. They will implode. Gas line leaks set off in an explosion caused by adjustments under a city will not just be limited to a building or block, but will ricochet through the city, creating a holocaust, potentially. End of the quote. A rupture in the North American continent, pulling the New Madrid fault line apart, running diagonally up into the New England states, running diagonally down into the gas and oil stores near the Houston area, and leaving little of the North American continent unaffected. And I quote from Zetatalk, Stretch Zone, written December 14, 2005. The wobble will become more pronounced, more violent. The plates are tugged back west of the Atlantic, pulled forward east of the Atlantic, during the daily rotation of the Earth. The North American continent is allowed to roll east during rotation while the South Pole is pulled west, creating the diagonal pole likely to trigger the New Madrid fault line into an adjustment, and soon. End of the quote from Zetatalk. And the weather has not gotten as extreme as it will, per the Zetas, before the last days before the pole shift. And I quote from Zetatalk, Weather Extremes, written July 29, 2005. Has the lineal increase we predicted in 1995 reached its climax? We are not here with good tidings, nor were we here with good tidings in 1995. Zetatalk, blunt and honest, is not for the faint at heart, but for those willing to take a serious warning and act on it. The coastlines will get increasingly inhospitable as storms formed over the oceans can develop into a howling rage that dissipates over land. In some places around the globe, this will make coastlines uninhabitable, a place where crops are grown or fish harvested, but where humans do not reside or sleep soundly. Land used to regular rains, now suffering droughts, may find these droughts turning their land into deserts. Drought or deluge, there will be few places on Earth not affected by one of these extremes. Temperature extremes, and in particular temperature swings, will increase so that the seasons almost blend into one another. The key will be the unpredictability, as a looping jet stream and increasing extremes of high and low pressure over land will force the atmosphere into unexpected directions. End of the quote from Zetatalk.
That concludes our broadcast. Thank you for being with us. Remember to carry love in your heart. It's the commodity of the future. As the Zetas say, love may have a blooming going into the shift, as it ought. Those with great love in their hearts responding to the realization that little else matters.